All right, welcome to the Growing Leaders Podcast with Tim Elmore. My name is Andrew McPeak. I'm your co-host. Tim, are you excited about today?
Extremely, because of the topic.
Yeah, me too. We both talk for a living, so we get excited about messaging, and today we're talking all about messages. And I'm curious, Tim, as you were growing up through, as a kid, just really down through history, what are some messages that really stick out to you as like some of the best, most powerful messages you heard?
Yeah, well, I can remember the voices of people actually still ringing in my ear. One was from history, but I heard a recording of it. FDR had those fireside chats that became very famous during the dark days of World War II.
Yeah.
But he would have that chat and he would calm the nerves of America. And of course, that line that he gave was, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself."
Wow.
And it stood the
test. That message got through.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did, during a very scary time.
Yeah.
And then there was Martin Luther King Jr. You know, "I have a dream." Probably the most famous speech of the 20th century, but those words rung in the ears of all of us, but particularly the minority groups that he was lobbying for.
Yeah.
And then JFK, who talked brilliantly about putting a man on the moon by the end of that decade, and they did. But he harnessed the energies of NASA because
NASA heard that message.
That's right. Absolutely. And mobilized them. So yeah, they're everywhere. It's incredible.
Yeah, I love positive messages. The reality, though, is for so many of us, we think our message is going to be really effective, really positive, and then it might fall flat. It got us thinking there are so many maybe negative messages or messages that just don't reach who they're trying to reach. So what are some examples of those?
Well, one famous one from American history is the story of Paul Revere. We've all learned the story of the midnight ride of Paul Revere. What isn't told very often, except among certain places, is that he was not the only rider that night. There were other people riding around on a horse with virtually the same message. The British are coming. The British are coming. William Dawes comes to mind. William Dawes was a rider that got on a similar horse, similar time.
But didn't make the history book.
Did not make the history books. In fact, it was pretty much clear he didn't mobilize anybody.
Wow.
So it makes you think. One guy rides with the message, mobilizes a bunch of people, starts a war, and mobilize, you know, it would just ignited.
Yeah.
And the other guy, people don't even turn over in their bed. And you go, why is that?
Yeah. Who is this guy?
Yeah. So it's scary because that could happen to us. Either way, it could happen to the best of us.
That's true.
So this really reminds me, Andrew, of one of our habitudes. We have a book called Habitudes for Communicators. We so believe
in
effective
communicators. Yeah.
But one of them is called The Faded Flag. And it's all built off of a true story that took place decades ago in North Carolina. There was a passenger train moving down rapidly on some train tracks, and it was coming upon a bridge that was down. The bridge was broken. And so there was a flagman stationed far ahead of the broken bridge, waving a red flag passionately, as if to say, stop the train, don't go any further. In fact, that was the message. Anytime you saw a red flag waving, you stopped.
Yeah.
But the train just kept moving. I mean, just didn't slow down at all. And of course, tragically, it plummeted down the cliff and hundreds of people lost their life.
Wow.
Needless to say, there were several lawsuits that were filed immediately afterwards. And it came down to the flagman. Because some people said, yeah, he was waving a flag, but it was a white flag, which meant everything's clear. He insisted, no, it was a red flag. I was waving a red flag saying stop, and
so
they didn't
it all
stop.
Came down to the color of this flag.
That's right. And somebody got the brilliant idea, why don't we bring the flag into the courtroom? And when they did, everything got clear. They realized it was indeed a red flag. But the flag was so old and had been so weathered, it had faded and faded and faded over the years until waving this flag, it was sending virtually no message at all. And I'm thinking, how many times, Andrew, do we get in front of audiences, particularly students? We're passionate, and they're looking out there, shaking their head, going, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It happens in classrooms every single week across America. And it's often not the teacher's fault. We're definitely passionate about our subject, but somehow the messaging isn't as clear as it should be.
And just doesn't get through. And it just reminds us of the value and the importance of this conversation, which is why I'm really excited about the conversation we're about to have with William Parker and the importance of messaging. We're excited to have William D. Parker on the podcast with us today. William D. Parker is the executive director of Oklahoma's Association of Secondary Principals and Oklahoma's Middle Level Educator Association. He is the former principal of Skytook High School near Tulsa, Oklahoma, an Oklahoma educator since 1993. He was named Broken Arrow Public Schools South Intermediate High School Teacher of the Year. That was in 1998, and he became an assistant principal in 2004. He was also named the Oklahoma Assistant Principal of the Year by the National Association of Secondary Principals in 2012. As a principal of a Title I school, his school's innovative approaches to collaboration, remediation, and mentoring resulted in marked improvements in student performance. And William now serves education leaders all over the country. He hosts a weekly podcast called Principal Matters, and he writes a weekly blog. You can find that on williamdparker.com. But we're really excited talking to him today about his brand new book, Messaging Matters, How School Leaders Can Inspire Teachers, Motivate Students, and Reach Communities. Tim, I think we're going to have a great conversation.
Yes, we are. Thanks, Andrew. And I should say, before I officially welcome Will, that this book is obviously applicable and helpful for educators, but we're going to be applying these truths to anybody, a coach, a parent, an employer, anybody that leads a group of people, a team of people, an organization of people, need to make sure their messaging is clear. Yep. Will, thanks for joining us today.
Tim, thank you. Andrew, thank you. You guys know that I'm a huge fan of growing leaders, and so it's such a privilege and an honor to have a conversation with you.
Well, thanks. Well, let's get into this book, because it is so practical. First of all, why did you write Messaging Matters? Or why should educators even care about their messaging with students, teachers, and for that matter, communities?
Sure. Well, you know, I'm a public school educator. I've been in the schools for the last 25 years. And even though I love my friends in all those other venues and public and private or charter, I believe that public education especially has a reputation that sometimes needs improvement. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's an interesting book by Rick DeFore called In Praise of the American Educator that came out last year. And in Rick DeFore's research, he highlights the fact that poll after poll, when you ask parents what their opinions are of American public schools, will give those schools D's or F's. But when you ask parents what their opinions are of their local schools, their community schools, most of them score them higher, even A's and B's. And so my question has always been, why do we have such a negative perception of public schools at large, even though we know that some in our communities are so wonderful? And I believe part of that is the responsibility of those of us in education. How are we communicating to those within our community, but also those with outside of our community, about the positives that are happening in our schools? Because public opinion drives public policy.
Yes.
And as long as we want schools that are going to be supported by our communities or our state governments or our federal governments, we have to make sure that they're seeing the best face of our school. And so messaging to me is so important, because teachers or school leaders need to be committed to how can I make sure that I'm celebrating the positives happening in my school, even though I'm managing negatives, because that comes with the job and territory. Yeah. But how can I make sure that the conversation about my school is focused on the outcomes, the positive outcomes happening in my school? And of course, that means that you need to make sure that you're having positive outcomes in your school. That's essential. I believe a lot of educators are committed to that, but they're simply not allowing others to be a part of hearing about those great things happening in their school. So I have a real passion for making sure that my school is, or I had a real passion in making sure that my school had that kind of positive promotion.
Yeah.
And I have a real passion in helping leaders do the same thing for their schools.
Yeah, I love that. This almost sounds cliche to say in response, but all of us are sending messages, whether we're doing it on accident or on purpose, whether it's clear or unclear. We don't realize we've got a brand and we're sending messages.
Yeah.
And I think all you're saying is, let me help you get this right, because it's radiating from you all the time.
Right. And people don't understand, too, that they're a brand. I mean, not just your school, but you are, too.
Absolutely.
And I know that sounds cliche and like a marketing gimmick, when it, you know, because educators are not in this for the business. But at the same time, it's a competitive market nonetheless. And so we have to make sure that the image that we're giving about our schools shows why we would want anyone's kids in our schools.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So let's get really practical. How can educational leaders adapt a mindset for enhancing positive communication, positive messaging?
That's a great question. And Tim, I know that you guys are committed to images and habitudes. So let me give you an image that helps me think about the importance of a mindset of messaging. You know, when I was a little boy, my dad loved to set up a telescope outside of our house and look at the moon. And so on a starry evening, we would go outside and he would set up that telescope. And one of my favorite things to do was to look through a telescope at the moon and see the ridges or the shadows up close, the things that I, you know, you can't see with your naked eye. But one of the things I realized as I was growing up about science and the moon is that you can only see one side of the moon ever from our position on Earth. And so because of the rotation of the moon and our planet, the only way you can see the backside of the moon is if you send a satellite back there or if you fly a rocket ship back there so that you can actually view the parts of the moon we can never see with our naked eye or with a telescope from this part of the planet. And so the reason I like to think about that image is this. I believe that school leaders, teachers, and educational leaders have a perspective of what's happening in their school that no one else gets to have. Mm-hmm. They get to see more of the moon than anyone. They get to see parts of their school and parts of the educational learning that's happening that a parent doesn't get the privilege to see every day. And certainly their community members don't get the privilege to see every day. So I want to encourage school leaders to understand that since you get to see more of the moon than anyone else, you have a responsibility to show that other side of the moon to everyone else when you can. Now, leadership also means that there's times you can't, there's certain parts of the moon you can show because our leadership sometimes means we're involved in confidential conversations or students have specific learning challenges that are confidential. And all of that stuff is important when it comes to protecting the rights and information of students. And I don't want anyone to think that talking about your students in your schools means that you violate anyone's privacy. But what I'm talking about is those things, those positive, wonderful things that people want to know and want to be celebrated, why are we not? And so I think the most important thing we can do first about mindset is think about the fact that we have an opportunity to see more of our school than anyone else. How can we communicate that out? And so in connection with that, Tim, I would say that once you adapt a mindset that you have the privilege of seeing more than anyone else, then how can you practice mindfulness? How can you learn as you're walking through your school, not to simply be looking for areas to correct or areas to improve, but how can you be looking for areas to celebrate? And so I think it's important for leaders to adapt a mindset of constantly stopping, being in the moment, looking around for those moments of learning, those awe-inspiring moments, those light bulb moments that now I can now capture and talk about or publish or celebrate so that those wonderful things can be shared with others.
I love that. That's so, so crisp and clear there. So let's talk about some practical steps that educators can take to enhance their messaging. What are things we can do if we're going to try to pull off what you just described?
Yeah. Well, let me give you six because the book is chock full of all kinds of ideas. And of course, it's easy, especially for education leaders, to find ideas online and through their friends that they connect with in other schools. But here are just six simple things that I try to have leaders think about. And they're all no-brainers, but I think sometimes we just need to be reminded. So let me run through those really fast, Tim, just for some quick takeaways. Okay. Number one, I would say carry your iPhone or your camera everywhere you go and capture moments because every day you have the opportunity, whether it's snapping photos or short videos, you can see classroom activities or when you give kids an award. Snap those moments, email them out, post them on social media, tweet about them, whatever it takes to have others see and celebrate the great moments happening in your school. Number two, I would say increase your social media shares. Never before in the history of our schools have we had so much opportunity for free advertisement mm-hmm. for our kids. And so I know that there are some districts that manage policies on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and LinkedIn. And I just want to encourage you to have those conversations with your district leaders about how can we use this free publicity. Come up with a policy that allows you to share as much as possible, because tech-savvy parents are thrilled and they share out those great happenings. When they see their kids posted on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or LinkedIn, they're going to share that out with their friends too, and the positivity of your school is immediately increased. Number three, I actually encourage school leaders to think about boosting a post, and a lot of people have never heard of that, but last year we decided to invest $5 in a Facebook post just to boost out something wonderful that was happening in our school. And we could not believe the number of impressions that we had on Facebook from that post, because parents were sharing it out. And because Facebook boosted it, that meant it was at the top of the page longer than others. And so sometimes you can boost posts, and those great moments reach even wider audiences than simply your school community. Yeah. The fourth thing I would say is share weekly positive summaries. And I can't emphasize enough how important it is for you to be wrapping up every single week the wonderful things that are happening and somehow getting those to parents. Now, I always use the newsletter to do that, and I would include highlights and photos and summaries from the past week, and it would encourage this momentum of positivity. So I wanted to make sure that that every single week my parents heard from me, and not simply the, hey, this is the challenge that we've had with Billy this week, or this is something that happened at the school that we managed. I wanted them to hear the celebrations, because there were mm-hmm. always more yeah, good yeah. things happening than challenging yes. things. So the fourth thing I would say is share weekly positive summaries. And then I've got two more. I would say number five, use media relationships to promote your teacher and student activities. Every school is connected to somebody, whether it's a local newspaper or whether it's an online resource or whether it's a TV station. And those media outlets become friends with someone there, because they like to talk about great things happening in schools too once they know you. Yeah. And then the last thing I would say is number six, don't be afraid to push out your press releases beyond your own community, because your community loves it when other communities hear about them. Mm-hmm. And so if you've got something great that's happening there within your own community, don't be afraid to push that beyond just your local community. Sometimes we'll reach out to our state organizations, or we would reach out to the cities beyond our own, just to let them know things that were happening too, because those teachers and those other communities love to hear about great things happening in neighboring schools. So those are just six quick tech tips for educators that they can use in boosting their own messaging.
I love that. And as you were talking, Will, I was thinking, so often, while those aren't rocket science, it's just stuff that slips our mind because we're so in the moment of just getting through the day. And yeah. you're just saying, here's a better way to get the word out. You know, that's what you got to do. So,
well, and Tim, you know that how important it is as a leader to make sure that you're demonstrating what you want to see in others.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
So I think it's so important that leaders, and I like to say it this way, it's almost like a boxing analogy, and this may not be a very positive way to say it, but I think that leaders need to learn to hit first and hit last with positives. And so, you know, you should be the first one in your school who's pushing out the positive things happening, so that the first communications parents have from you, especially when school's beginning, needs to be something that's wonderful and positive and a welcoming message, not the first contact is when their child's done something that needs correcting.
Yes.
And then they need the last communications from you to be positive. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I talk to a lot of principals, especially, and assistant principals, education leaders who manage a lot of school difficulties.
Yeah.
And I just like to encourage them by reminding them, you know, that you actually have a platform that gives you a lot of positive power. So at the end of the week, when you've had a really difficult conversation, or you've had a tough student situation, or maybe in a school crisis to manage, how can you pause and think about the most incredible things that have happened in your school that week, and make sure that the last communication that you have with your parents that week is something celebratory, so that they hear the last communication they hear from you is that, hey, our school is still working for what's best for kids. And that does take time, It takes a commitment. You know, I had to make, I made a commitment when I became, when I moved from assistant principal to high school principal, I made a commitment that every single week I was going to put something together in a summary form and push it out at the end of every single week to all my parents. I had over 800 parents in a school with 750 high schoolers. Mm. I set up a subscription email list and so that parents could opt out if they didn't like as much information as they were getting. And I had over 800 parents on that list. And so I wanted to make sure that every week they had something powerful from the school. Yeah. And it was so much fun to be able to end each week knowing that I left them with a good reminder of why their schools worked for their kids.
Yeah. This is reminding me of the idea that leaders not only need to be thinking, what are my audiences hearing, but what are they feeling as a result of what they're hearing? And you're saying, don't be in denial if there's challenges, but make sure you open and close. The takeoff and the landing are really good. I have a great feeling when I hear from my principal, you know, and that's really what you're saying. And I feel like we need to know that's the business we're in. It's not just what's going on and am I leading the school well. Is everybody feeling good about it?
Yeah, and Tim, I think I probably learned that the hard way. I mean, I remember in my early years of school administration being nervous and sometimes having dread when I would go to social events and I would see a parent coming my way because I knew that inevitably they had something to either complain about or we had an issue that they wanted me to address, which is my job, that I should welcome the ability to solve problems. But what I discovered when I made the commitment of, you know what, I'm going to start sending parents a summary of the great things happening in my school.
Yes.
Suddenly, and it was almost, and I'm not trying to exaggerate, this is, it was almost day and night. But as soon as I began to do that, parents began coming up to me at social events. And where before I would go, okay, here it comes.
Yep.
9 times out of 10 in those events moving forward, that parent would start by saying, hey, I just saw in the newsletter where you just said something about the band. I just saw in the newsletter where you talked about Future Farmers of America. I just saw in the newsletter where you were bragging on Students of the Month, et cetera. And they would start the conversation with thanking me for highlighting something that their kid was involved in.
Yes.
And so now I was having a conversation with those parents without ever having to see them face to face so that when they did have a challenge or a problem to bring to me, it was in the context that I cared enough that I'm already communicating with them about the great things happening in their school.
That's a great point. So this leads to a natural next question. How does messaging that, like you're describing, affect the school culture? And I think I'm hearing you say, absolutely it does. That can have night and day difference in the school culture and influencing the leadership growth all around you. You want to comment on that?
Well, yeah, I think the most exciting thing about how messaging can change your school culture is how you can teach your teachers and students to do this too. Mm. And so I think as education leaders, as you adopt this mindset, don't keep it private. And so as you're demonstrating, which great leaders demonstrate first, we model, then your teachers can begin to see, oh, this is a good idea. So I would encourage my teachers to do the same thing. Send out summaries to your parents of what's happening in your classroom. Highlight the great things that your kids are doing when there's a lab or there's some kind of cool project or you've taken them on a field trip. And so we began to build a school momentum around sharing out and celebrating good things happening. So we set up some systems where we had a person within our building who was kind of our social media guru. And so all of us, as we're taking pictures or talking about great events, we would send that to that person and she would put those out on our school Facebook page, our Twitter page. She would make sure that that was up on our website. And so we kind of built some systems where we embedded those practices of positivity. And then our student leaders began to adopt the same practices where they would create Twitter hashtags for certain events. They would build videos that we could share about initiatives that they were promoting. Let me tell you a quick story. Last year, our kids decided, our student council leaders decided that they wanted to do a class competition. And they wanted to do a class competition to see which class could get the most points for spirit or good deeds. And so they created this big trophy called the Good Deeds Award, or the Class Cup Award, I'm sorry. And so we had all of these different initiatives going on where when teachers saw kids doing good deeds or they saw them doing something positive, they would report the kids instead of for, you know, reporting them for something bad. They were reporting them for good deeds. So we were keeping a list, a running spreadsheet of good deeds happening throughout the school, and we would give points to each class accordingly. So in my high school, that's 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders, there was a competition between each class to see who could get the most points. And as the year went along, it was just so much fun to be able to shout those out in announcements, let parents know which class had the lead. And at one point, I think this was near second semester, we had a couple of girls that were so excited about the initiative that on their own, one day they went into a bathroom and they took a Post-it note and they wrote on a Post-it note, "You are loved." And they just stuck it on the mirror there in the girls' bathroom. And then they wrote another note like, you know, "Don't let others judge you." And then they put the Post-it notes packed there with a pen and some soap and some hand lotion. They kind of made a little area where it's in with a basket that said, "Take a thought, leave a thought." And about, I don't know, 1 or 2 days later, a teacher came to see me. I didn't even know this was happening. And she said, "Will, the girls' bathroom, do you know what's going on in the girls' bathroom?" And of course, I was expecting negativity. And I said, "No." She said, "There are positive notes all over the mirrors in the bathroom." And so, of course, we went in there and they let me come in and take some pictures. And soon they put an entire wall. They put butcher paper all over that wall and left some materials in there. And by the end of that week and the next week and for the rest of the school year, that wall was constantly being covered with notes that girls would leave for each other, so of positivity, cool, and take from one another. And so, of course, we put that on our Facebook page. That got spread out to parents. We decided to boost it, like I had mentioned earlier. We saw over 65,000 impressions on that Facebook post. Our local TV station from Tulsa called and said, "Hey, can we come do a story on your acts of kindness?" Because we saw it on Facebook, and so they came out and put it on the news. And this one act by these two girls just blossomed because the momentum for positivity was building all year long. And when the kids adopt that mentality, they are unstoppable.
Yep. Well, and I was just going to say that was a student-driven initiative, but the result of good leaders, I'm saying that, not you, who start this thing called positivity. So I just love that you're saying leaders own the attitudes of your school, you know, own it.
Yeah.
You can't control a teenager's mind, but you can impact their attitude. So I love those stories, Will. Okay, one more question.
Sure.
What about the educational leader out there who seems to be struggling to move the school forward? You know, that does happen, obviously. Mm-hmm. How can messaging help him or her?
Yeah, and Tim, let me say this to any school leader out there who, you know, is struggling to move a school forward. You know, no strategies of messaging work without relationships.
Yeah.
And so the most important thing you can do first is build positive relationships. So with your teachers or with your students or with your families, always be thinking about how can I build a relationship of trust? How can I make sure that I'm leading and making wise decisions and good decisions so that I'm giving people an opportunity to trust me? And how can I be listening to their concerns and asking for their input so that I'm building and cultivating an atmosphere of understanding? Because you can try to brand anything, but if you can't brand something bad for long without people realizing that it's untrue.
Yeah.
But if you build true relationships with other people, then you have the groundwork for beginning to celebrate those wonderful moments when you see them. And so you cultivate it over time. It doesn't happen overnight.
That's
You can affect a culture quickly with positivity by simply walking into a room and choosing to look for the best in others. But it takes time for you to cultivate trusting relationships. And so make sure that you're committed to strong relationships. And then the last thing I would say is this to leaders. Sometimes I think that as school leaders, I don't know how to say this other than just as honestly as I can, without, even though I may sound sappy. Sometimes I think as school leaders, we don't give ourselves enough permission to love our kids.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that we need to give ourselves permission to just be inspired by them. And when you see the wonderful things that they're doing, to let them know it, and not to be afraid of being seen as sappy or sentimental,
cheesy. Yeah,
but because I love it when I'm appreciated sincerely,
absolutely,
and genuinely, and so do your teachers, and so do your students, and so do your parents, and so I really believe it's the key role of educational leaders to be the chief cheerleader, the chief communicator in their organization if they want others to be cheerleading and encouraging others too.
Yeah. Well, this has been outstanding. And the overarching thought that keeps racing through my head as I hear you talk is that really leadership operates on the basis of trust. Good cultures happen when trust, it happens in relationships. And if it's a bad culture, usually it's an issue of trust. And I believe I'm hearing you say, you want to build trust? Communicate. You know, this is what you've got to do well. So better communication, better trust. So well, thank you for making this so practical, so succinct. This book is great, folks. And I just, Andrew, I'm going to turn it back over to you to really tell them how they can get the book. But Messaging Matters by William Parker is just a must read. It's so it's like a guide to the uncharted waters of leading well today.
It really is. And I think I speak for both of us when I say William Parker is one of our absolute favorite people.
Yeah.
I sit down with this guy. I'm serious. I sit down with this guy, and he just has so much wisdom, so much insight from his years of experience and thought. And so we're just, we cannot tell you to check out this guy enough. If you want to get that book, Messaging Matters, I strongly encourage you, go to WilliamDParker.com. That's WilliamDParker.com. I would also encourage you subscribe to his blog. Remember, it's called Principle Matters. He does weekly blog posts. And if you sign up, you actually get another free ebook. It's called 8 Hats, Essential Roles for School Leaders. It's fantastic. So you want to get that as well. You might have guessed he's like a social media guru. So we'd love for you to follow him. His Twitter handle is at WilliamDP. And you can find him on Instagram at William_D_Parker. So follow him in all the ways that you can. And William, thanks again for this conversation. It was incredible.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks for leading. Thanks for all the examples that you set for leaders across the nation and across the world. I cannot wait until we can talk again.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, Will.
Thanks again, Will, so much for this conversation. It's been fantastic. We'll talk to you soon. Before we get into some application, Tim, I'd really love to just tell our listeners about an opportunity they have. As you can hear, Will is an incredible leader. He has so much wisdom, so much insight, especially for school staff and administrators. What you may not know is Will is actually one of our speakers that we endorse at Growing Leaders. If you have a training coming up, a conference, some conversation where you think it would be really helpful to have a leader like Will who really sees the realities that the educators face every day and the future, what the future of education looks like while leading the next generation, I think he could be fantastic for your next event. We really encourage you to reach out to us. You can actually just email us at our podcast email, podcast@growingleaders.com, and we'll connect you with how to get Will coming to your campus or conference or your next event. Okay, so Tim, we've heard some great stuff today from Will. I'd really love, let's process this. Let's apply it to the leaders who are listening right now on the podcast.
Yeah. So one of the things, Andrew, you know that we're hearing more and more and more from educators, whether it's principals, teachers, deans, is the messaging that's necessary in our day with parents. So whether it's a middle school, high school, or college, you know, we have a population of overfunctioning parents. Yeah. Not everyone, but you know, that's the term we use. It's neutral, but they are really engaged.
Yes.
So every week of my life, I'm hearing about how parents are helicoptering, Apache helicoptering, etc. So I want to apply some of the principles Will shared to this.
That's great.
So one was, Will shared the whole notion that a parent may come up and be negative.
Yeah.
You know, he talked about that scenario. And he said, in the old days, before I learned some of what I've learned, a parent would come up and he'd go, oh boy, here they come.
Here comes.
Get ready for it to be dumped on. And I think he mentioned that you can prevent some of that by just the positive messaging. And now it was a positive thing that they would come up to talk about, or at least there was a context that was more positive for the negative.
Yeah.
Here's what I would say. The genius behind this is very, very often, at least in my 3.5 decades of my career, if a parent comes up and has something negative, the overarching message is everyone feels this way.
Yeah.
Everyone feels this way. And, you know, if you really ask them, they probably say 3 people or 2 people yeah. or just me. But it feels that way. Whenever you're seeing something negative, you think, I'm sure I'm not alone. But when you have messaged well, like Will talked about, you've posted pictures of victories and wins and hopes and dreams and trophies and all the other stuff going on, they realize, I may say everyone, but everybody in the school doesn't believe that. In fact, I'm even hesitant to say everyone feels this way because my principal's been so good or my teacher's been so good at posting positives.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying override the negative. There are going to be some negative challenges. Don't be in denial. However, you can, I think, prevent some of that negative culture by posting and messaging well. Years ago, a great book was published called In Search of Excellence. Mm-hmm. And in that book, we all learned the phrase, now this was 25, 30 years ago, MBWA, managed by walking around. Great leaders in education, wherever, managed by getting out there, getting out from behind their desk where it's safer, more comfortable, more familiar, and you get out with the people. You get out with the moms and dads. You get out with the students, and you're not seen as someone in an ivory tower.
Yeah.
You're down on the ground, boots on the ground. And then Will added posting. So I just want to point that out again. Then one last thing. I think messaging to parents needs to be done up front in August, maybe July, and then ongoing.
Yeah.
Here's why. Almost every parent at one point will find something wrong in the school year
yeah.
with the way their child was treated.
Yeah.
If you can start the year before anything is seen as a vendetta against a parent by saying, here's the ground rules, here's what we're going to be doing, please work with us as we build good men and women out of these boys and girls, then you can refer back to that. In fact, hopefully, as you drip it month after month after month with great articles or messaging, once again, it's messaging, you can, I think you can shore off some of that negative fighting that goes on just because a parent cares so deeply about their child. Now, listeners, if you are an educator and you want to do this and you need some fodder, I blog, and almost, well, every month there's a few blogs that go directly to handling parents.
Yeah.
So there's lots and lots of good, that 3 huge mistakes we make leading kids, what to say when your kids perform, lots of good stuff that a principal could utilize to send out on behalf of, please work with me as we try to teach your kids. I'll stop there.
Yeah, which we know from talking to educators that that's something that they feel on the daily, probably, yeah, at least weekly. Yeah. So thanks, Tim, so much for helping us process that. Incredible job. Again, if you want to have a speaker like Will, and actually we'd love to see Will come to your campus, we strongly encourage you, reach out to us, podcast@growingleaders.com, and tell us about that. We'll get you connected. Again, if you want to get Will's book, we encourage you to go to williamdparker.com, pick that up. If you have comments or questions about the podcast, if you've got topics or even people you think we should interview, you know, you've got to hear about this person, send us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com, and we get those, we read through them, we get really excited about hearing back from you. So I strongly encourage that. And then also, if you do us a favor, and a lot of you did after the last podcast, which was awesome, if you will get on iTunes and rate our podcast, and if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. Those things really help us get the message out about what we're trying to talk about on this podcast, and we just are so appreciative of all the people who are listening and engaging and leading. You guys are amazing, and we just want to put wind in your sails. So thanks, Tim, for this conversation. Thanks to Will Parker. We're so excited, and we'll see you next time.